of every tribe a man. And command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, and out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe, a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and they laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. I want to draw your attention back to verse number 1, where the Bible says, And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua. Again, that phrase there, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, I come to You this morning and ask that You would just give us some grace here this morning. Father, we need clear minds and clear heads. God, I pray that as we go through this morning, that You would just give us Your Holy Spirit's power. Father, I know that when Satan and the devil seek to defeat us, Father, He begins with our flesh and attacking it and our spirits. And Father, we don't want the devil to win here. We want to see sweet victory in You. And so, Father, I just ask that You would just bind Satan from this place, that we might hear from You. Father, give us a clear understanding that we might know what it is that You would have us to do. And Father, we ask all of these things in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. In Joshua chapter 4, we're pretty much picking up in the middle of an event. And so we're going to have to go backwards in order to come to the full message this morning. So we're really starting at the end, and we're going to come back here. But I'm going to have to call to your mind several things that I'm hoping and trusting that you already know, you're already aware of. The first thing is going to be the fact that when God called the children of Israel out of Egypt, when God called them out of Egypt, of course, we looked at last week as Memorial Day weekend that there were some memorials that were set up and in place, and they did all of these things for memorials after that first one there when God was sending the plague of the death of the firstborn and the blood on the post and said, do it for a memorial. And then, finally, God told Pharaoh, let them go. Once again, Moses came, and finally, Pharaoh said, fine, go. And we know that as the children of Israel, they got all their belongings, and they packed everything up, and they went out among themselves, and that Pharaoh changed his mind. As Pharaoh changed his mind, he sent the army after the children of Israel, and they finally made themselves and made their way to the Red Sea. And if you'll recall there at the Red Sea, one of the greatest miracles that we know in Scripture, that as they went and
And we see that when Moses held up the rod and the waters on this side parted and stood up straight. And then the waters on this side parted and stood up straight. And the Bible describes to us that the children of Israel passed through on dry ground. And as they went through, and the last one that passed through, we know that when Moses put his arms down, the children or the armies of Pharaoh had made their way through the midst of the Red Sea as well. And when Moses put his arms down, that this side came down and this side came down in the Red Sea, swallowed them up into death. And we see God performing this great, great miracle. The children of Israel rejoiced and rejoiced. I mean, they've never seen anything like it. They hadn't seen anything like it before. And yet God did a miraculous thing there. We know as the children of Israel went on, as God was leading them to a land that He had promised, leading them to a land that He had prepared for them. And yet we find early on in the journey to that promised land that the children of Israel began to complain and began to murmur because they had no water. And we find God providing them water and providing them all of these things in the wilderness. And eventually, though, the children of Israel began to sin so greatly that God determined that those people that were then alive that had done that would wait and not be able to go into the promised land. It took 40 years that they wandered in this wilderness. And even Moses himself, as he disobeyed God, God said, Moses, you're not going to enter either. Moses even came on another time and said, God, I wish you would reconsider. And God said, no, Moses, I'm not reconsidering anything. As a matter of fact, don't ask me again. Don't ask me again. And so Moses then was told by God, you need to take Joshua and prepare him. Now the Bible says in the beginning of Joshua, in chapter 1, if you want to turn back there, we're kind of going fast through this beginning part as they wandered in the wilderness. Many, many things happened. But the Bible says in verse number 1 of the book of Joshua, it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto a land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. One of the reasons I love the book of Joshua, because one of the reasons is we see God doing great and miraculous things. You know, it's amazing to me that when God does these miracles, He chooses to use people to be instruments in these miracles. when we see the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea, we see Moses standing there with a staff. We see those that were there and helping him. And we see the children of Israel crossing through. And we see, the Pharaoh's of army coming through and coming to their death by the crashing of the water in the midst of that. Now, and the second reason I see and I like and love the book of Joshua is because the book of Joshua is a book of transition. It's a book of transition. We see, as the Bible describes to us, that Moses is dead. He's no longer living, and God had prepared Joshua to take over and to transition into that step of leadership for the children of Israel. Now, we know that in this transition that Joshua must have been very, very nervous. Must have been. Because as God gives these directions to Joshua in verse number 2, as he begins by saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them." And God spells it out for him, what he is to do. But when he gets down to verse number 5, he says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." And then again in verse number 9, he says a second time to Joshua, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Now think with me for a moment. If you are ready to go and you're braving this thing and you're going through, do you really have to tell someone who's not afraid to not be afraid? You know what I'm saying? You know, like, "Brother Terry, are you afraid right now?" "You're not. Okay, good. Don't be afraid." That doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, if you're telling someone to not be afraid, it's usually because they're afraid. You are afraid, and so therefore, hey, there's nothing to be afraid of. Don't be afraid. But that's Joshua. And so we see this transition, and during transition times, they can sometimes be a fearful thing. They can be a fearful thing because we don't know what lies ahead. Now, the fact of the matter is this, with a transition or without a transition, we don't know what lies ahead. Amen? I mean, we may not have tomorrow. Hopefully we will. Lord willing, we will, that He may give us many, many, many more days. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know. But during times of transition, it is sometimes a fearful thing. Now, one of the things that God tells Joshua here is He says, it's time for this people to go over Jordan. To go over Jordan. Now, when we go in and we finish this chapter in chapter 1 and we go through chapter 2, Joshua is now beginning to prepare the people. He is, again, taking this leadership and he's getting ready to prepare the people for what is to come ahead. And that's what chapter 1 and into chapter 2 is that's what's taking place. When we get into chapter 3, the Bible tells us in verse number 1, "Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over." Now, God has already told Joshua, don't be afraid. But I want you to notice that not necessarily a hesitation, but they had a little travel to do, and then they came to Jordan. And if you've ever been nervous before, sometimes when we're nervous, it takes a little bit to get over that nervousness, to get through what it is we need to do. You know, if you've ever, been cliff diving or something like that, it's rare that you find somebody that just, you know, unless they've done it before, that they just take off, run, and jump off the cliff and go down to the water. Now, there may be someone brave enough to do that, but that's not me. Typically what we do, and hopefully you're more like me, you know, we kind of step up and we look down below and we start calculating, don't we? You know, okay, how far is it down? And then a natural question to ask is, how deep is that water? Right? How deep is that? And I haven't seen anybody else do it. And then there's the other thing. Okay, so I see someone else do it. That doesn't make me less nervous. Sometimes it makes me more nervous. What's going to happen to them? You know? And so I can get this, that they come up to Jordan, and then Joshua says, all right, we're going to camp here for the night. Trying to work up. Because we're going to cross over Jordan. And so here's Joshua, he's leading these people, they're there, and now we're getting ready to move forward. And it's time to pass over Jordan into the promised land. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. So they didn't just camp there for a night, they continued to. They're getting everyone prepared. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. So now they're preparing a plan. It says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites, or the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Gershusites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Now you know what he's describing here. He's describing that when they take this ark, and they wanted the people of Israel to follow this ark that represented the presence of God, they said, stay back 2,000 cubits, so one, you can see the way that you should go. So then they're getting everyone prepared. They're preparing everyone, and it's time. It's time to move forward. It's time to cross over Jordan. He tells them, he says, tomorrow you're going to see some great things. And so the day has come, it's now time, and now the Ark of the Covenant is going out. Oh, but they're in the water. And he says, choose 12 men. And he tells the 12 men, as soon as the soles of your feet touch the water, it's going to stand up on end. And as it stands up on end, it's not going to flow anymore. And guess what's about to happen? They're about to cross through. Not over necessarily, or they're about to cross through the River Jordan. It's going to stand up on a heap. So the Ark of the Covenant goes in, and it's there. They're kind of wading out in the water. 12 men, they step out. Now, do you see the difference here? Now, the Red Sea, Moses held up his rod, and it said, whoosh, whoosh, and the people went through. But this time, they've got to get their feet wet. Now, they've heard the stories of the crossing of the Red Sea. They know exactly what has taken place. But they had to get their feet wet in order to see it. I like to call that a step of faith. Amen. Sometimes we got to get our feet wet in order to cross through. But imagine if they had just stood on the bank and said, "All right, do your thing, Joshua. We heard Moses did it. Go ahead." Well, the requirement was they had to get their feet wet. They had to step in to see God move. And boy, did he. When they stepped in, those waters parted. It stopped flowing downstream, and it just stood. And the people crossed over this Jordan. The Bible says in verse number 14, "It came to pass when the people removed their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bare the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bare the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for as Jordan overfloweth his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap, very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed, and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." Verse number 1, chapter 4. "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man." And we read these verses a moment ago. Now, as we see this and we see this miracle that has been prepared before the children of Israel, you know, I understand and I'm completely aware that the church is not Israel. Amen? It's not. It's not the same. I understand that. But when we read through, let me clarify this as well. I also understand that the promised land is not a picture of heaven. Amen. The promised land that God promised to Israel is not a picture of heaven. Y'all don't sound too convinced there for a moment. Let me illustrate it this way. What we know about heaven is that God rules there, and that there is no sin, there is no fighting, there is no disease, there is no death. Amen. There is none of that in heaven. There is no crying. All of those things that we know about heaven. So if the promised land that God gave to Israel is a picture of heaven, which it is not, then why did the children of Israel have to fight once they got there? I don't plan on fighting in heaven. Amen? And whether we plan on fighting in heaven or not, we don't have to. Amen? And so the promised land is not a picture of heaven, but when we can compare it to something else, though, I believe what it is a picture of the Christian life. Because I will tell you, in this Christian life, oh man, I got to fight some things. I got to fight this old flesh, just like you do. Sometimes, there's fighting, there's turmoil, there's fear in this flesh. Now, we can have a victorious Christian life, and I believe we can have it, and God gave it to us, and we can claim it as we do what God tells us to do, and all of these things that we can pass over. But we got to get our feet wet. Now look, I'm going through all of this to try to set a stage here that we can make some application as to what is taking place here in Joshua. You know, a growing church is always in transition. It's always in transition. There's always something changing. Sometimes we have to change Sunday school classrooms. Sometimes we've got to change, carpet. Sometimes we've got to change paint. Sometimes we have to change, personnel and those types of things. And so there's usually and always a transition taking place. And I will tell you that sometimes in a transition period of time, it is a little nervous. We can get a little nervous there. Sometimes we can get so nervous about what the next step is that we get next to the river, so to speak, and we camp out for a while, waiting to see when God's going to speak and when God's going to direct. And as I see this, of course, this isn't new to anybody here that I can tell. You all know we've been going through a transition time. It's been a pretty lengthy transition time. And during that transition, we may have, again, another analogy, we may have just been treading water, so to speak, for a little while. Or really probably a better description would be we've just been kind of camping out. Well, I'm here to tell you that the time of camping out is coming to a halt. It's time to move. It's time to step out, get our feet wet, and let's watch the waters part and see what God is going to do here. Amen. You say, but I'm nervous about it. That's okay. I'm nervous about it too. But we have to move forward. We have to continue doing something. We can't just stand still. We can't just stand firm. And so when we see this, now I want you to know something, that is, as Joshua was nervous about what was going to take place, I want you to remember something. Joshua had already been to the promised land. He had already seen what was over there. Caleb had already been to the promised land. He had already seen what was taking place, what was about to happen. Now, they knew it was going to be a fight. They knew it was going to cause some ruckus, so to speak. But because of what they had seen, they said, you know what? The ruckus is worth it. The fighting is worth it. The going through. And so therefore, they had to say, all right, we're going to get our feet wet. And they stepped out by faith, and they followed the Lord. That's the main thing right there, that we must follow the Lord in all of this. And we see that God has already promised the victory. And I tell you this, God has already promised us the victory. We already have the victory in Jesus Christ. And I tell you, there's some things that I've seen before that I'd like to see again. As we enter into this time of vacation Bible school, you know, we may be weary, we may be tired, but we've got to move forward. And I'll tell you, I see, and when we've seen it before, and I see it again, I think it's possible to see 175 kids come through VBS this year. And I'll tell you, it's a lot of work, and it takes workers, and it takes people. And I want you to notice that when they came through, notice in verse number 3, in verse number 2 and 3, he says, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. So they went, and they prepared this thing, but notice Joshua didn't do it. It was 12 people, 12 men. It took workers. And they chose them and they set them to the side and they went and they got these stones and they set them over here. And again, kind of a reoccurring theme here, God told them to do it for a memorial. For a memorial. And so we see this, and we've seen these things happen before. I tell you, I see we have about 7 months, a little less than 7 months left of this year. And I tell you, I think it's possible that we see 10 people saved this year. It's possible. But I'll tell you this, it's not going to be possible if we're not sharing the gospel. If we're not getting out there and doing and sharing God's word, it's not going to be possible. But I can see it. I can see these things taking place. I see 5 people baptized through the remainder of this year. You see, we're not in transition any longer. We're moving forward. And in moving forward, we must do these things. Hey, I see 3 new families coming into our church this year. I see about 4 to 6 new choir members coming in. I see maybe some new Sunday school teachers and some new workers, some new nursery workers. And I'm seeing these things coming to place. And I see people that are living in God's Word, growing in the nurture and admonition of what His Word says. Why? Because it's time to move forward. Camping is over, and as we see this, we need people to get on board with this. Now, Joshua and the children of Israel, they chose out 12 men. I'd like to see double that, triple that. People all over this church are needed to pass over. I trust that you would pass over in prayer. I'd ask you to pray for this ministry here at Crossroads Baptist Church and what God would have you to do in it. That you would pass over with us in prayer and praying for all of the ministries that take place. I tell you, you may not physically be able to come out to a week of vacation Bible school, but I promise you this, you can give yourself to praying for it. And going over and passing over in prayer. Passing over in faithfulness and being here and supporting the work and supporting the ministries of this church. You can have a matter of faithfulness, and we need people to be faithful to what God has called them to do. I see people passing over in serving. Hey, I see people passing over in excitement. We need to be excited about what God is doing. We don't have to be defeated any longer. We can be excited about what God is doing in your life. We need somebody to pass over in this excitement. Hey, we need to see somebody pass over in life. Not passing from this life unto the next, but just living life, the Christian life, to its fullest. May we pass over. May we step out and step into the water that the waters might part. May we see God do something here. But I tell you, as we do and as we move forward, Satan's going to fight. But guess what? Just as those walls of Jericho came crumbling down, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, God told Joshua. And I believe this message still applies to us today. Yes, there's probably going to be a fight. Yes, there's probably going to be turmoil. But the victorious Christian life is worth it. It is simply worth it. And so we've got to get past the differences. We've got to get past those things and cross over and pass over to the other side to get a hold of what God has for us. May we do it. May we do it together. Every head bowed, every eye closed.